The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 12th, 2010, in London, England.
So we're very happy to be here tonight with you wonderful souls here in this great holy place of pilgrimage, and right in the middle of all places, London, England. This amazing transcendental oasis. We're very happy to be here. It's like crossing the Sahara, you know. And then all of a sudden there you are, it's a beautiful oasis, beautiful clear waters and palm trees and organic dates. So here it's a wonderful atmosphere. It's like an oasis in the middle of the London desert. So this is a question and answer, yeah.
About the dates there, I just wondered, you're joking, yeah? You're joking about the dates. Are there actually dates available?
Oh, here? Yes, we have. Everyone can make a date with Krishna here. Who wants to go on a date with Krishna? Krishna's willing to date every one of us. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna with love, and you got a date. Okay.
No, I was just wondering, Prabhu. You were saying before about becoming dear to Krishna.
Yeah.
It's okay to be transcendentally envious.
Yes.
And that means that you then try and do better service to become dear to Krishna. So
you're saying that somebody else is getting so much recognition, you would like to try harder to even do better service than they're doing, so Krishna will notice you also. But that is never that you want to put them down or, you know, step on, push them out of the way. They're not that kind of a move. That's material.
Because I was wondering, because someone said we hear that one who's my devotee, he's not my devotee. One who's the devotee of my devotee. So right. Would that principle apply to becoming dear to Krishna's devotee?
Yes. If you want to become dear to Krishna, then you must become dear to devotees. Actually, the verse you referred to is from the Adi Purana. It's a very wonderful verse. Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhaktas tate jana. Mad bhaktanam che ye bhaktas te me bhakta matamata. Ye me bhakta jana parta. Ye me bhakta, the one who is my devotee, O Sanaprita. Na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. So, if you want to become recognized by Krishna, and if you, the only way you can do that, according to Krishna, who's the supreme authority regarding how to approach him, the only way you can do that is to approach him through the medium of his devotee. So instead of trying to become dear to Krishna directly, we should try to find a devotee or devotees that we can become dear to those devotees. By loving service, we can become dear to those devotees. Because when we're dear to those who are dear, then Krishna recognizes us. Not until then. Until then, who are you? Upstart. You see, doesn't recognize. And we come under the wing of a Vaishnava, you see. Then Krishna says, oh, you're a devotee of my devotee, come on. You see. That's why we take a spiritual master, that we can fully dedicate ourselves to this person, totally sell ourselves to this person, sell out to this person. That's what Krishna wants. He wants to see how much are you surrendered to my devotees. Any other question? Yes.
About something that to me seems contradictory, Prabhu, but I know it's not, I'm sure it's not, it's just that I don't understand it, so maybe you could help me to clarify what it means. So basically it's about, in the teachings we're told that we should always, you know, seek higher association than ourselves. And then, but we read in the Shastakam prayers, Lord Chaitanya, he says that we should always try to be in the mood of feeling that we're lower than the straw in the street, the most lonely. And I was thinking, if we were to really practice that and feel... Oh, sorry, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm a little bit deaf. My wife will help fill in whatever I miss.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I was thinking, if we were to really practice what Lord Chaitanya says in that mood, then I thought, well, then that would mean that there's absolutely no one higher than us. Even people who we say are non-devotees, we would consider to be higher than us. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, how to tie these together? I don't understand. It seems contradictory.
Well, in the mood of the Uttam Adhikari, the highest level devotee, to see that actually everyone is a devotee except for me. So that mood, that's a very wonderful mood of total, it's complete total humility. But when it comes to practicing Krishna consciousness and for practical preaching of Krishna consciousness, we're instructed to make distinctions on the vision of the Majjhima Adhikari. This person is devotee, this person is non-devotee, this person is innocent, this person is envious. And even within the devotees, we should see who is more advanced, who is equally advanced, and who is less advanced than myself. Those, it's described by Prabhupada, those who are more advanced than us, we should bow down at their feet, we should inquire for them submissively, render service unto them, become enlightened and enlivened by their transcendental guidance. Those who are equally advanced, we should share our realization with them as friends, intimate friends. And those who are less advanced, we should be very kind upon them. So on the one hand, we do cultivate that mood of complete humility. And that's beautiful, that's wonderful. That's desirable. At the same time, we make distinctions based on these descriptions given in the scriptures. So there is a one you could say is being objective, and from the other is being subjective. So, and you should do both, really. Even if somebody is obviously less advanced than you are, like some newcomer who doesn't even know how to give up, doesn't even know what sinful life is still absorbed in sin, you may be preaching to that person. But so that person may express something or demonstrate something which in some way exceeds you. That's possible. They show a certain quality or characteristic that you may be lacking in you. Even though overall you could be more advanced than them because you're following principles, you're regularly chanting. So the idea is to always have humility, even dealing with people who are obviously less advanced than you, should always have that humility to appreciate their wonderful qualities that may come out, you see. Ultimately, everyone is a pure devotee of Krishna. It's just covered, that's all. So one has to, actually both visions, the vision of the Uttam Adhikari and the vision of the Majjhima Adhikari, the ideal vision of the Uttam Adhikari, the practical vision of the Bhajan, they're both very important, they're both very helpful for advancing on the pathway of Krishna Bhakti. Yeah, so the answer is have both moods, do both things. They don't really contradict.
I can't still grasp it, but thank you, I appreciate it.
Huh?
I appreciate your answer, thank you. I can't seem to grasp it, you know.
I
understand. I'll be happy to try to explain further if you. What is confusing to you?
Why we make any distinction at all?
Why we make any distinction at all?
It just sounds so stupid, I can't get it. I'm sorry, Prabhu. I don't understand it.
Well, we have to make distinction. Because we are, as I explained, according to scriptures, we are meant to deal with different, those who are more advanced in a certain way, those who are equally advanced in a different way, and those who are less advanced in a different sort of way. So we have to make those distinctions. Now, if you're not advanced enough to be able to make the distinctions, then you should understand that you're less advanced and just serve everybody as being more advanced, like you're feeling. But not, that doesn't mean you a beggar in the street who's going to take the liquor, the money and buy liquor. You give your money to him. You have to have some discrimination. In our town where we have our ashram, there are many beggars on the streets. And we took taking pity on them. We gave them a plate of prasadam. They just threw it away. They just want money for liquor and cigarettes. They're killing themselves. So now we're a little discriminative. We don't just give, you know. So you have to be a little discriminative. According, you have to learn to see through the eyes of Scripture. The Scriptures are there to give you clear vision of who is more advanced, who is equally advanced, and who is less advanced. You need to study the Scriptures more. So you understand how to deal with people on different levels. You're meant to deal with different people on different levels, in different ways. Not that you take lesson from everyone. Those who are less advanced than you should be teaching them lessons, not taking lessons from them. So you have to make that distinction.
I understand, but Lord Chaitanya doesn't sort of elaborate. He just says you should, you know, treat yourself the most lowest and expect no respect and give everyone respect. I'm wondering then why, I don't mean to question Lord Chaitanya, but I wonder why he didn't sort of elaborate a bit on that, you know?
He said, like Chaitanya says, that we have to be humble
and
then the blade of grass.
Right. So even those, just like the spiritual master, for example, he's taking the position of being more advanced than his disciples, obviously, because he's the spiritual master. But he doesn't think, even though he takes that position, he thinks, actually, these are my masters. So the point is, even if you're dealing with somebody who is less advanced than you, you should still feel that you're their humble servant. That's the point. You should be the humble, thinking yourself lower than the straw on the street means you should feel you're the humble servant of everyone, even a little ant walking down the street, just like we were checking in yesterday, to come to London, checking in Texas. And there was a bug crawling on the luggage. So my wife pointed out to the lady and she went, phew. And we were shocked. You know, why can't you just gently brush him off? She just wanted to kill it immediately, you see. So the materialistic mood is there's a bug, ew, kill it. Not even a second thought, it automatically just killed it. But a devotee, he thinks, I'm a humble servant of that bug. I have to, if he's in the way, then I gently pick him up so I don't hurt the poor little fellow. You know that story of McGrory the hunter? Yes. Everybody knows about McGrory the hunter? Yeah. Everyone knows McGrory. He was a vicious, he was a real sadistic hunter. He was trained by his father. He lived in the forest and he would kill the animals, not immediately. He would kill them half dead. And he would watch, they would flap in agony, slowly dying a torturous death. What a horrible mentality. Narada Muni saw this going on, he was shocked. What is this man doing? He said, you should kill them full. Don't leave them like that. You may be shocked, well, how Narada Muni can say, kill them full? Vaishnavas don't kill animals. Why did he do that? Narada Muni had a tactic. The man accepted, all right, I'll kill them full, so they don't die a torturous death. But in this way, he was accepting Narada Muni as his instructor. And then Narada Muni said, okay, now don't kill them at all. He said, but if I don't kill them, how will I earn my livelihood? This is my income. You're taking my income if I can't kill the animals. I have no livelihood. He said, don't you worry. You just follow me. You bake your bow. You and your wife, you go get a cottage. Then take one cottage, make one hut, and you worship Tulsi Devi, and I will personally see that all your eatables come to you. So he put full faith in Narada Muni, and he did that, and lo and behold, everybody heard, this hunter, McGrory, has become a Vaishnava. Everyone came for darshan to see this amazing transformation of this sinful hunter, and they all brought, just like when we go to visit a saintly person, we never come empty-handed. We bring some flowers, some fruits, some vegetables, some grain, some butter, some milk, some money. We always bring something. We visit a saintly person. So in this way, everyone was bringing, and he had so much food stuff. They had distributed prasadam, this prasad distribution program. They had so much food stuff. And then, Narada Muni, you know, he's a liberated spaceman. He doesn't have to come in on the British air. And he has his side, we call him in Texas, a sidekick. He had his sidekick, Parvat Muni. So they would just go flying through space. Parvat Muni. You've heard of Parvat Muni? So anyway, Parvat Muni and Narada Muni. Narada said, let's go see how my disciple Mrugari is doing. So they came flying in. And what do? Immediately when you see your spiritual master? Dandavats. So, in this way. But Mrugari did not immediately do dandavat. Why is that? There were some ants on the road, so he was very carefully picking up every little ant. He didn't want to hurt even one little ant. So just see how humble was Mrugari, you see. Every ant is his Prabhu. My dear Prabhu, I don't want to hurt you, my dear Prabhu. Every ant was his Prabhu. So in this way, you, Mataji, you have to see that everyone is your Prabhu, your master. Even the little ant is your Prabhu. But different Prabhus are dealt with differently, you see. The more advanced Prabhus, the equally advanced and less advanced the dealt. So everyone is Prabhu. But their distinction was in the Prabhus. You see, in this way. You can cultivate both visions simultaneously. Is that clear?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right. Good. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes.
How can we make a compromise in Krishna consciousness? We say that don't kill any animal. And outside in the world, people are saying halal meat, halal meat. So how?
Halal meat.
Halal.
Halal.
Sacred, so-called spiritual meat. Yeah.
Means,
well, don't so eat how, it. That's all. Don't eat any halal meat. That's all.
No. We don't.
Right.
In the material world, I mean, there is bound to be controversy and dispute, because outside they are advertising halal meat, but in Krishna consciousness we are saying that killing any animal is sinful.
That's right.
So,
Lord Chaitanya didn't compromise. He told the Kazi, "Your cow killing is wrong." He told Shankazi, your so-called halal meat is bogus. Lord Chaitanya, and Kazi was convinced. At least let him stop killing the cow. That's step number one. Lord Chaitanya resorted, he said, what kind of scripture is your Quran that you kill your own mother? Lord Chaitanya didn't, he was very strong.
What is my question is that is bound to be a controversy and a kind of quarrel and fight.
You have to do it. The thing is that you have to, first of all, you have to show, we want people to be convinced by our argument, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, how, let's see, if you want somebody to, first of all, they have to agree to hear what you're saying, that's the first thing. If you want them to hear what you're saying, you first have to be willing to hear what they're saying.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
that should be some dialogue, some openness of dialogue.
Right. Yeah.
That's the first thing. And for someone to actually be willing to be affected by your dialogue, they really have to like you also. If somebody hates you, they're not going to certainly be influenced by your dialogue. The people have to like you. If you want to impact them by your philosophical presentation, they really have to like you. And if you hate them, they'll never like you. So the first thing...
I'm not saying...
I'm giving the foundation.
Yeah.
I'm giving a foundation of how you convince people.
Yeah.
First of all, you have to love those people. They have this Krishna's parts and parcels. Pandita Samadarshinaha. If you want to convince them to give up meat eating, you have to love them as spirit souls.
No, I understand. But the thing is this.
Mm-hmm.
In meat eating, I mean, I was born, you know, vegetarian. I was vegetarian up to my A-level. And after that, I become non-vegetarian. And And I then gave up again eating meat.
You did?
Yeah.
Very good.
And then I stopped eating meat. Anybody who eats meat near me, I get bad smell. And I'm not able to tolerate it.
Yes.
Because anybody is supposed to...
What do you do on the airplane?
Sorry?
When you're flying an airplane, what do you do?
Well, I keep my distance. That's all I do.
You're stuck in the seat. They're around me. Everyone's eating meat all around you. What can you do? You have to tolerate it.
Well, I that's what I'm
saying. You're going to jump off the exit? Pull the...
No,
you have to learn to be tolerant.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
that what Lord Chaitanya says? Chanadapi sanichena?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't be so intolerant. You want to learn how to become tolerant.
No, I understand that trying to be tolerant, but bad smell comes from the meat. As simple as that, to me.
You think you're the only one who can't stand it?
Huh?
You think you're the only one who can't stand it? I feel like I'm in the middle of a crematorium when they're bringing out the dinner on the airplane. You know, God, it's horrible. All you can do is just think of Krishna, you know, and wait for it to pass. And that smell goes in your clothes even. It's horrible.
Yeah.
All you can do is just tolerate it. Tanadapi sunichena.
Yeah.
What else can you do? You gotta be tolerant.
Yeah.
And whenever you have an opportunity to speak against it, speak very strongly against it.
Okay.
Then what kind of nonsense civilization is this? A cow-killing civilization, baby-killing, cow-killing civilization. It's horrible.
Not only cow killing, I mean, I asked one person and I said to him that in the Middle East, the three religions arising from Judaism, Christianity and Islam, they all preach to eat meat. And this guy, he answered me.
Prabhupada calls their scriptures mlecha shastras.
This guy says to me that these animals are meant for us to eat. That's what he said.
Well, what if I say, I remember, that's your philosophy, sir. I remember one devotee, he was on the bus in Atlanta. Our temple president was riding the bus. And he overheard a conversation between two men on the bus. And one man, he said, very proudly says, I eat what I kill, and I kill what I eat. And if I was hungry, I'd kill you and eat you. So, that may be their philosophy. But you could say, well, my philosophy is that I could kill you and eat you. What will he say then? You say, your philosophy is that these animals are meant for me. And if I say, well, my philosophy is I can eat anything, including you, would you like that? Ask him. What if I killed you and ate you? Would you like that, sir? Ask them. If you think anything is fair game, any kind of meat is fair game, then what if I killed you and ate you? Would you like that? So then put yourself in the position of the animals. You wouldn't want to be killed and eaten, sir. So do you think these animals like to be killed and eaten? Why are you torturing them like this? I would just challenge them very strongly. You don't want to be killed and eaten. Some cannibals came and wanted to kill you and eat you. Would you say, oh, that's your philosophy? Okay, fine, take me. Would you do that, sir? If some cannibals came and wanted to eat you, would you volunteer? All right. Let me jump in the old cooking pot. Would you agree? Then why are you doing that to an animal? The Bible, the don't you believe that it's one should, in the golden rule, that one should treat others like you would like to be treated? Then why are you abusing these creatures? They're your brothers and sisters also. They have feelings just like you do. I mean, don't you see how much the mother cow is attracted to the calf? Or even the pig to the piglets? Of course, they don't eat pig. But you should be very strong. You should be very, very strong. We don't compromise on the philosophy. We can be friendly and warm to them. But when it comes to matters of philosophy, it's war. It's pure war. And we're going to win. We're not going to let them defeat us. Just like this Stephen Hawking, for example. They can call him the biggest brain in the world. But I always make fun of him. his ridiculous philosophy that everything comes out of nothing, there's no God behind the universe. I constantly make fun of him. But I respect him. To just see it, a person who's completely paralyzed, how he's been able to write so many books and become so respected in the world, it's amazing what he's done. On a personal level, I love the guy. I think he's amazing. When it comes to philosophy, we're enemies. And I make fun of him like anything, but a complete idiot he is. This philosophy that everything comes out of nothing. So we should learn to love everyone, but when it comes to philosophy, war. It's wartime.
And, you know, this meat eating was advocated in the Middle East long time ago when, say, Prophet Muhammad was there. There was no vegetables in that.
Yes, that's right. We also allow meat eating.
But now the world has shrunk and it's very small now. Everything is available.
The thing is, our philosophy also allows meat eating. Prabhupada explains in this purport that one yogi, I forget his name, he was eating dog. Our philosophy is, under emergency, you can eat anything to survive. So, if in a desert, I can understand why one may have to eat meat. Or why an Eskimo in the North Pole may have to eat. But, if you have a grocery store overflowing with fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains, what in the world are you doing torturing these poor animals, sir? How inhumane, how inconsiderate, how insensitive. It's absolutely ridiculous. In the United States, they have this SPCA, the society. They may have a version in England, too. Do they have one here, too? The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And these people are all meat eaters. Can you imagine how ridiculous it is? They go on their lunch break and they have a McDonald's hamburger. The executive director of the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals is eating meat. This is hypocrisy. We have to expose this hypocrisy. We have to shut down these slaughterhouses by philosophical argument, where nobody would dare spend another penny on meat ever again in their life. That's how strong we have to preach. We want to close all these slaughterhouses, not by bombs, convincing the consumer, don't ever buy meat again, you're committing suicide. Worse than suicide. Do you realize that for every hair on that cow, you have to take an animal, you have to take a cow's body and be slaughtered? For every single cow of every single hamburger, if you had 10,000 hamburgers, how many hairs are there? Any cow specialists here? How many hairs on the body of a cow? Anybody know how many hairs there are in the body of a cow? Must be a huge number. I never bothered to count, but it must be a huge number. If you ate in your life, you had 1,000 hamburgers, then that's 1,000 cows that you caused to be slaughtered. And for each hair on those 1,000 cows, you got to take birth as a cow and go through the slaughterhouse yourself. So you better think twice, sir, before eating meat. That's all I can say. Because you're under some heavy karma. You may be enjoying now, but I guarantee you, when you leave your body, you're going to really see hell. Birth after birth after birth after birth. Those animals that were tortured to satisfy your ridiculous, asinine desire for blood and flesh, you're going to pay with your own flesh lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Are you ready? If not, come to the Hare Krishna temple. And we'll give you some prasadam and we'll relieve you of that karma. By taking this prasad, you'll become relieved of that karma. And vegetarian is not good enough. There's a hellish planet described in the fifth canon of the Bhagavatam called Krimi Bhojana. Who knows what Krimi means, the Sanskrit word? Anybody know the word? Don't you say? She knows all the answers. Who knows what Krimi means? Krimi?
How do you spell it?
Krimi. K-R-M-I. R with a dot under it. Krimi. It means worms. Krimi Bhojana. So there's a planet called Krimi Bhojana. You know what? Everyone knows Bhojana. That's a Hindi word. Bhojana means eating. Like a restaurant is Bhojanalaya. So Krimi Bhojana means eating worms. So you can imagine what kind of planet that is. Everybody gets to eat worms. That's the diet on the planet. And guess what kind of bodies all these worm eaters have? Worm bodies. They're cannibals. It's a huge lake, a huge, huge lake filled up with worms, and they're all eating each other. And that's a place for people go who don't offer their food, even vegetarian food. They go to Krimi Bhajana, described in the fifth canto. So it's very good if you can learn to offer your food, not only vegetarian, but Krishnatarian, is it? Otherwise, oh my God, Krimi Bhajana, here we come. Ooh. If I said, here's some spaghetti, and I laid a plate of worms, and I put the tomato sauce and gave you a plate of worms, would you be enlivened by a plate of worms? But there's nice spaghetti sauce on top. In China, they would love it, I guarantee you.
In China,
they'd be dancing in ecstasy.
They eat everything from China.
But anyway, this diet of Krishna Visharam is described in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 13. Yagya Shishta Shana Shanto, Muchan Sai Sarvakil Vishai Bhum Jate Te Bhagam Bhapam, Yipachanyan Vakaranam. The devotees of our Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment rarely eat only sin. Any other question?
Yeah.
Let me give someone else a turn. Yeah?
We have time till 8 o'clock.
You want to go all, till 8, all the way till 8?
What is the time?
7:15.
Yeah,
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock cut off?
Yeah, but if it ends early, it's okay.
And there it is, okay. All right, the first hand that went up is in the back, and I'm going to give everybody a chance for democracy here in one sense. Okay. So, yeah.
I was just going to say, could we not take this talk a bit further and say, the vegetarian food that we're having, that's grown on land that's been cultivated, and we've basically killed the crop in, you know, what we've harvested, basically. But is that not something, you know, the fruits that we're plucking from the trees, aren't we essentially killing them of life? And
what's he saying?
He's saying that vegetarian food that we take, and we're killing them also.
Yes, Prabhupada explained this in Atlanta. He said, whether you kill a poor man or a rich man, you're still a murderer. So the animals are like the rich men and the plants are like the poor men. So, yes, if you even eating a vegetable, I mean, the potato is alive. You can put it in a glass of water and it sprouts. There's a jiva soul in that potato. When you cut it up and throw it in the frying pan, you just killed it. You just killed him. You murdered a potato. You're a potato killer.
Exactly.
That's a fact. Therefore, you have to offer that potato to Krishna. Otherwise, you get the karma of having killed that potato. That's a fact.
Could you not then have offered the meat?
Offering
meat to Krishna would be fine, except Krishna is a vegetarian. He doesn't take it.
No, I'm just saying, if offering the food basically, gets you rid of the bad karma that you.
Offering the food to Krishna, you're basically.
Yeah, but Krishna won't accept meat. He says, I will do this, but only for fruits, vegetables, air products, and grains. He doesn't allow that I can go, offer your McDonald's hamburger to me, and I relieve you of the karma. He doesn't give that concession. He does for fruits, vegetables, air products, and grains. He does not do so for meat, fish, and eggs. So if you want to eat meat, fish, and eggs, you're out of luck. And if you want to eat them without any sin, you have to become an animal. And you can do it. Open the window, it's getting a little stuffy in here.
Too much music there.
It's too noisy, all right, we'll tolerate it.
That verse also says, if it's offered with love and love
means... Offered with love and devotion. Patram pushpam palam payam yo me bhakta priyachati tadahang bhaktya pravritam mashmami dayatadmanaha. If you will offer me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, food, or water, I'll accept it. So, you may say the meat is the food of the cow. It's the fruit of his body. But Krishna says with love. So if you love somebody, just like, let's say it's your birthday and I want to make you a birthday dinner. Would I offer you something you hate? Would that be a nice birthday dinner? No, I find out, what is you like? What is your name?
Tanuj.
What's your name?
Tanuj.
Huh?
Tanuj.
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 Tarun.
Tanuj. Tanuj.
Kanuj.
Tanuj.
If I said, okay, Tanuj, what do you really like your best? What is your favorite food, you see? And I made exactly what you like the best. Then that's love, you see. not what you hate. So Krishna says, if you offer with love, then I will accept. So if you offer him, McDonald's or, Kentucky Fried, that's not with love. Because Krishna doesn't accept those things. That's not with love. That's contemptuous offering. He won't accept it. Has to be with love. Bhaktya, with love, you see. Patram pushpam palam deyam yome bhaktya prayachati. That word bhaktya is very important, with love. Okay, anything else? All right, go ahead.
In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the demigods, the boons given by demigods is actually given by Krishna only. Demigods is not present in the deity. It's actually given through super soul. The Maya medium through super soul.
What's the question?
She is saying, so what is the question, Mataji?
The question is that in the demigods, Brahma and Shiva is also includes. In demigods, Brahma and Shiva also includes.
Demigod category, is Brahma and Shiva also recommended?
And they are
they included in that category?
So they are not actually present in the deity. Krishna, by medium through Krishna, the devotee of the Brahma actually reciprocate with the Brahma. And Brahma is our guru also. That's why I'm confused on that. Brahma is our guru also and he is a demigod also. So I'm confused.
She says she's confusing that Brahma is our guru and also he's as a demigod. So she's confused about that.
Well, if an ordinary human being can be a spiritual master, why Brahma can't be a spiritual master?
No, Srila Prabhupada is present in his deity.
Srila Prabhupada is present in his deity, so the...
Prabhupada is present in his Prabhupada Murti, yeah.
Yeah, but it is said the demigod is not present in his deity, so... Brahma.
Oh, but who said the demigod is not present in his deity?
In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that actually if someone prays to demigod, then Krishna...
all their desires are...
Well, demigods can also be present in their deity form, just like when the dacoits were getting ready to sacrifice that... what was his name? Jad Bharat.
Yeah.
They were sacrificing Jad Bharat for the deity of Kali. And Kali came bursting out of the deity form and killed all the dacoits. She was there in her deity form.
So her confusion is that in Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that Krishna is saying that whatever the boon, someone worships the demigod, whatever boons they get, it is fulfilled by Krishna.
Krishna is the ultimate fulfiller of everything. The demigods are just agents. So why mess around with the middleman, you see? This was the intelligence of Sam Walton in the U.S. He started this company, Walmart. Instead of getting his products from the middleman, he went straight to the manufacturer. And this way he made a huge profit. So what the intelligent person says that the demigods are just agents of somebody else. Why do I bother going to them and paying them an extra fee along the way? Why not just go directly to the manufacturer of everything and get everything from him? And that's the devotee, you see.
Yes, so my confusion was that Krishna is saying that actually no one can directly, through Srila Prabhupada, I can directly talk to Srila Prabhupada Murti. Like if I'm praying to Srila Prabhupada, directly Srila Prabhupada is accepting.
Yeah.
But it is said in Bhagavad Gita, demigod and...
See, the demigods... there's a different...
Through super soul, he is accepting.
Are you confused that we indirectly worship Krishna through the guru, but we are not supposed to indirectly worship him through the demigods? Is that your confusion?
So my confusion is Brahma is our guru also.
Brahma, you can worship as guru, but not as a demigod.
So if he is as a guru, then he can...
Yes, you can pray to Brahmanji as the Sampradaya Acharya,
so
the founder. You can pray to him as your Sampradaya Acharya and beg for his blessings for pure bhakti. That's very good.
So if he is as a guru, then he can talk to me. But if he is as a demigod...
If you approach him as a demigod for fulfilling your material desires, that's not very good. He won't get bhakti. But if you approach Brahmaji and say, my dear Lord Brahma, I am your disciple in your line of succession, I'm begging your blessings for pure devotional service, he'll immediately reciprocate with your prayer.
So
And in this sense, I was having a question, is this parampara is present in Guru Vrindavan also, and Srila Prabhupada is worshipping Brahma Ji also, because Brahma Ji is...
In Goloka Vrindavan, what does Prabhupada say in the cover of the Bhagavatam? He says, the spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions, and the disciple lives with him. So, that means that every single previous acharya in our line of succession, and all the great acharyas, even in other sampradayas, they are our eternal instructors. And we will be able to recognize them even in Goloka Vrindavan also.
So Srila Prabhupada will be worshipping to Brahma also, Brahma Ji also.
You will be able to recognize our Brahma, our Chaturmukhi Brahma of this universe. And we will also, when we go back to Goloka Vrindavan, you'll be able to recognize, he might be your next door neighbor. He could be your next door neighbor. Oh, there's Chaturmukhi Brahma, our universe, who gave us Brahma Samhita. You can see him and serve him and bow down to him. Even in Goloka, you can recognize, be able to recognize him, who he was.
They are in material, they are also not pure devotees. And Srila Prabhupada is obviously pure devotee.
Shiva is not a pure devotee, Brahma is not a pure devotee.
They are in the, not, in Harinam Chintamani also written that they are not, they are under some material because they are under some...
They are pure devotees, but they sometimes show pastimes of being under the mode because... Being the directors of the modes, they sometimes appear to be influenced by them. But we should not think that Shiva and Brahma are some conditioned souls. They are a great. They both are sampradaya acharyas. Shiva is the founder acharya of the Rudra sampradaya. These are great pure devotees. But sometimes, because of their service to be in charge of the modes of goodness and the modes of passion, the modes of passion and ignorance. They sometimes show pastimes of being under the influence of the modes, which are very illustrative for us, just like the time that Shiva went running like a crazy madman after Mahinamurti, passing Samanas, he was running along. He was really overwhelmed with lust. So these are pastimes, and these are very instructive pastimes for us to understand that even these great sampradaya, great founder acharyas of sampradayas can become under the influence of the modes of nature, how careful I have to be. Yeah.
Aren't we supposed to be said to be Gopi Bhartu Pad Kamalaya or Dasa 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 No Dasa, so why do we have to jump to Brahmaji or Lord Shiva?
You don't. But we can pray to them because they are...
We can pray.
Prabhupada said that Prahlad Maharaj was our spiritual master, for example.
Yes,
so. Yeah, one can pray to them, but the most important thing is you become the devotee of your spiritual master completely.
I'm not inclined to pray to Brahmaji. I was just having confusion that why it is said for Brahmaji and Shiva that they are not pure devotees. This confusion, and they are our guru. That's why this question was there, because everywhere it is said
they are pure devotees, but they sometimes show symptoms of those who are not pure devotees to teach us how careful we have to be when dealing with this material energy. That's the answer to your question. I'm glad we finally got to the point. All right. So there's nothing else? We can start. All right. Actually, her hand went up, and she right before her ears did. She was really fast. We'll go ahead and recognize her.
Going back to initially when you started saying that you can get deeply involved into chanting Hare Krishna mantra, shouldn't get bored and get deeply involved into chanting mantra.
Go deep into chanting the Hare Krishna.
The
mantra.
Depth of it.
Yeah.
Is there anything you think when you want to feel like that in depth?
Do you need to think anything when you go deep into chanting?
Did you need to do what? Think?
Think, yeah.
You said you can get really...
You should think, let me absorb my mind fully in the sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is called... Smarana means the mind is thinking of Krishna. So the mind does... You have to think. You should be thinking, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. If you chant it and you hear it, then your mind will be thinking, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. That'll be your thought. Your thought will be, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. That'll be your thought.
Do you feel that it comes out of your heart? Because a while ago when I was chanting, I felt like it's just like a parrot talking, chanting.
You said your chanting is like a parrot?
No, I'm just thinking, like, it felt like
You feel that your chanting is like a parrot?
It doesn't feel so much now.
Your chanting?
It doesn't feel so much now.
Yeah, we were in the Fiji Islands, there was one parrot, and we stayed with one family, a Namahat program they have in their house. And there was one parrot out in their yard. He used to go, Haribo! 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 But he's thinking, feed me, feed me, feed me. Every time they says Haribo, and they feed him. So he goes Haribo all day long. You know? But so yeah, he's not chanting. He's just trying to get something to eat. So yeah, Arch, if we chant like that, then we're not getting so much benefit, you see. Of course, there's always benefit. But we're not so much benefit. So you should learn to cry, call out for Krishna to save you from your fallen position, this material ocean of birth and death. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. See, calling out, you see. Just imagine you fell off the ship and you're drowning in the ocean. They didn't even know that you fell off the ship. You're waiting, hoping another ship will come by, you see, to rescue you. Then finally a ship comes and you're yelling out, help, help, help. Hoping someone will hear you, desperately calling for help. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're desperately calling for Krishna to help you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You're begging Krishna, calling out to him as a drowning person, suffering in birth, death, old disease, begging Krishna, please save me, my Lord, I'm drowning here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In this way, you see. So don't be like, you think you'll be going, as some ship comes by, you go, help, 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 like a parrot. When a ship comes by, you know, help. There's a big difference between help, 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 and help. That, the feeling, the emotion is completely different. So you have to learn how to chant with feeling, you see. Bhaktya, just like you offer the prasadam with feeling, you have to chant Hare Krishna with feeling also. If you do it mechanically, Manaji, you can go on chanting for millions and billions of years and never go back to Godhead. That's a fact. Even if you're chanting 16 rounds and following the principles and you're initiated, if you chant mechanically, you won't get liberated. You have to chant like a child crying for the mother, begging, you see. Do you know how much nectar there is? Tunday tandavali riting vitinite tandavali labdiye karma krodha kadamani gataye kunarbade braspriham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam gatim no jane janita ki advir krishnaiti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami explains this. Do you know how much nectar there is in these two syllables, Krishna? Rupa Goswami says, I don't know. He says, I do not know how much nectar there is in these two syllables, Krishna. Because when I say this Krishna, it dances in my mouth. His name dances in my mouth. And when those names are dancing, oh, I want to have millions of mouths. And then they come around, that sound vibration enters the ear. It's so enlivening. But these two ears can't catch all the nectar. So I want millions and billions of ears. And when that name, then it's dancing after the chanting and hearing, it's now dancing in the courtyard of my heart, then my mind becomes completely conquered. And I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. This is what Rupa Goswami says. So you should learn to chant like that. To where you're just going, wow, this one mouth isn't enough, these two ears. I need millions and billions of ears and mouths to get more of this nectar than this name, you see. And that way you should be chanting.
I think we can end here, sir. So
okay.
One private version can end.
Oh, wow.
We have to go because the driver is waiting.
The driver is waiting.
And then I know
those of you who may miss your opportunity tonight, just you can note this down in your book. backtohome.com. www.backtohome.com. I have a thing. I send a daily broadcast of question and answers. You sign up for my e-course, you automatically be signed up for the daily broadcast called Thought for the Day, and you can also ask your questions there, and they will be answered personally by me. www.backtohome. You know, back to home, back to God, backtohome.com. So if you just didn't get your question in, please send me an email. And you can also send it to my personal email, which is SDA, for Sankarshan Das Adhikari, at backtohome.com.
SDA
for Sankarshan Das Adhikari, SDA. S is in Sankarshan, D is in Das, and A is in Adhikari. Is that clear? Yeah, SDA at backtohome.com.
Back to home,
like back to home, back to Godhead. backtohome.com. com. The at sign, you know. Yeah, I think everyone knows. Okay, so. All right. So we'll go ahead and stop here. Anybody want to leave one on one?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
One gentleman has come, Mahendra has come to meet. He's my old associate from many years ago. He's come to meet me after many years. I wanted to speak with him personally. And if anybody else who wants, I don't know if there's any time. But
yeah.
I wanted to especially set a little time for him to meet with him personally, because he's one of my students from long ago who's come tonight, and I wanted to meet with him personally. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Grace, thank you, Shantabhu ki.
Hare Krishna.